The Gospel for this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the gospel text for today doesn't sound particularly comforting. It doesn't exactly give you this feeling of optimism. The underlying message is one of encouragement. Now, it's important to know, I'm going to focus this morning more on the second reading, but it's important to know that both the letter to the Hebrews and the gospel text are embedded in the time in which they were written. In this sense, Jesus is talking about things that are going to happen to in the time of his disciples and in the generations after, and which can happen at any time. And that is that when people decide that the supreme value in their life is going to be their faith in Jesus Christ and what that means for how they live their life, okay? And it's important to know that you can't separate faith from any aspect of your life. It's not like religion is here, politics is here, and everything else is, some things are here and some things are here, and they're all separate. You know, religion is what I do on Sunday morning and when I pray and read the Bible, but it has nothing to do with anything else. No, that's not the case. Faith is the underlying foundation for the meaning, direction, guidance, and strength of our lives, no matter what we are involved in. Now, that doesn't mean God tells us how to vote or how to do this or how to do that, but it does mean that regardless of what we're involved in, we remain faithful to the values that come to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the challenge. Faith is a challenge. Now, we like to think of faith as a comfort, and it is. We like to think of faith as giving peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but here he says, I haven't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And what he means by that is, I mean, even in his own, there's a fascinating story in the Gospel of John, how Jesus' brothers, they all think he was nuts, and his brothers come to him and they want him to come home and to quit doing all these crazy things, and he tells them basically, my family is all these people who follow the will of God. That's who my family is. Essentially telling them that that family is more important than his blood brothers. So this separation he's talking about is something that often happened in his own life and in the lives of his disciples and in many of the people in the first three centuries of the Christian movement. Christianity was under the sword and threat of persecution over and over again. It wasn't consistent throughout that time, but it would break out. And nobody ever knew when. So many Christians in Rome, for example, worshipped in the catacombs. They had to hide because the Roman authorities, who were under the thumb of whoever the emperor was, And some of these emperors were just nuts. If they decided they didn't like something, well, then the army went after whoever it was he didn't like. And it happened again and again. So that's what he's talking about here. He's saying faith is the blessings of faith, which give us hope, which give us the love of God, which give us the knowledge that we're forgiven, that when we're knocked down, we can get up again. All those wonderful values, if you're going to hold on to them, they also become a challenge. They become a challenge because there are times in life when faith becomes difficult. Now, the author to the Hebrews, and by the way, this was not really a letter. What it was is, it may have been a sermon, an extended sermon. We don't know who wrote it, but it was written to a church, probably in Rome, in about the year 70. Okay, so only about 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. The congregation there was under stress and duress. They were feeling like their faith had brought not a blessing to them, but just made life more difficult. And so many of them were drifting away. I've had enough of this. Why should I do this? I don't have to. Forget it. I'm not in for this threat of persecution and ostracism from everybody else, ridicule from people who believed in the old religion, and the possibility of even being crucified. No, I'm not in. So some of them were drifting away. So he writes this treatise, or gives a sermon, which has already been written, and this section of it, what he's trying to accomplish is to tell them, look, faith is a challenge. And then he uses these characters from the past. Heroes of the faith, you might call them. Okay, so look at David, or Samson, or Samuel, or any of the prophets. So when Jeremiah wrote this particular verse here, Jeremiah never wanted to become a prophet because he knew what would happen. He knew it was going to be very, very difficult. Because when you preach the word of God and you're determined to tell the truth, and when the truth hurts, people don't like it. So he knew this was going to be very hard. And what the kings of Judah and Israel would do is they would hire these prophets who, in order to maintain their position, they just said whatever they thought would please the king. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. These prophets have dreams and dreams and dreams, and it's all a load of you-know-what. But some of us have to preach the word of God. And then he says, the word of God does what? Well, it's like fire and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. In other words, the word of God challenges us. And if our life is going in the wrong direction, as it often did in Judah and Israel, then the truth is told, and people are given a choice. Okay, faith is a choice. Are you going to choose, or are you not? Are you going to be like Joshua, who tells the tribes of Israel when they're ready to go into the promised land, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now you have a choice too. Are you going to do that? You're going to choose something else. If you're going to choose to serve the Lord, understand that living by faith in the God of Israel is a challenge. So then this author to the letter of the Hebrews, okay, he talks about all these people from the past who not only accomplished great things, but who suffered terribly because of the faith. These people he's talking about here, the destitute, the persecuted, the tormented, people who were sawed and all this gory stuff, well, it actually happened. And his point is that when you live by faith as the supreme value of your life, this is the thing that is the highest good. This is the one thing needful. This is the thing that I will not give up. No matter what, when you make that commitment, you're making a commitment to hold to it irrespective of what the consequences may be. So that's what he's telling them. He's trying to get people to understand that, you know, as they're drifting off from the church because it's a challenge, he's trying to get them to understand, look, this is not a cakewalk here that we're talking about. We're talking about discipleship to a man who was crucified. And despite the fact that he was crucified as a despised criminal, never wrote a book, never wrote anything as far as we know, Jesus, had a ministry of 2.5 to 3 years at the most, and still he became the most influential human being who ever lived, whose life impacts the lives of billions of people through the years. How did that happen? How could that happen? How is it that people have been able to live by faith in a man who came and taught us alternative values from those of the world, taught us to live by those values? A man who taught us don't, you know, when you encounter bad people in your life, here's your choice. You see, the overall picture is like this. We don't have any control over what happens in our lives. I mean, some. But unexpected things happen all the time, and we don't control all of that. But one thing we do control, and that is our response to those things. So when Jesus taught his disciples to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek, and all of that, what he was saying is, you have a choice when you come up against conflict in your life with people who either don't like you or whatever it might be. You have a choice. You can pray for those people. You can hope that something good happens that will make them change their ways. Or you can get angry. You can take revenge. You can live in resentment. That's your choice. But if you choose the resentment choice, your life is eventually going to be misery. Because that's what resentment and anger bring to you. Misery. Move beyond it. Live instead in compassion and forgiveness. That's hard to do. It's not easy. And I certainly am the first one to admit that I haven't done it many times. But that's what the challenge is. Okay? When our faith is in Jesus Christ, that is the challenge. Okay, but if you do choose faith above other things that our hearts may desire, if you choose faith instead, then your life will not only not be misery, you will be growing in faith. You will be maturing in faith. You know, it's like anything else. What do we tell our young people when they grow up? We tell them you have to take responsibility for your life. You can't be dependent on your parents or anybody else all your life. You have to become responsible. You have to make the difficult choices. And when things are rough, you don't give up. You persist. That's the recipe for living a successful life. And that doesn't mean a successful life doesn't mean an easy life. But it does mean taking responsibility for what we do. And that's basically the choice here. Are you going to respond to the difficulties in life, the darkness, the times of depression, the times of grief, the times of fear? Are you going to respond to those by giving in to them? Or are you going to respond on the basis of your faith in Christ, who told you, I am with you always to the close of the age? Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Those are the kind of promises that we rely on, and it's a challenge. Now, the closing message here, really, and the underlying foundational message is what he says at the end. So what makes it possible to live by faith? How do we overcome the challenges of continuing to be faithful to God's promises and the values and the ethical life that we're called to live. How do we do that? Well, this is what he says. He says it's not complicated. He says, when you're running this race, by perseverance, what do? You look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In other words, the source of our faith. What makes it possible is the presence of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He's with us in his spirit. He is with us now. We can receive his presence through faith. And that presence is what makes it possible for us. His grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, which changes our hearts, that's what makes it possible to run this race with perseverance. We can't do it on our own. The secular world, the world that doesn't have God in its life, what they tell you is you got to have faith in yourself. Okay, fine. That's great up to a certain point. But there are times in life when faith in yourself isn't going to work. Moreover, faith in yourself doesn't mean that you're going to lead a life of wisdom and compassion. There's a lot of evil people who had a lot of faith in themselves. You know, Joseph Stalin had a lot of faith in himself, enough to murder anybody he didn't like. But faith in Jesus Christ does not allow for that. Because faith in Jesus Christ means we live by his love. And his love we receive by faith through the grace, mercy, and love of God. And so that's the challenge today for all of us. And it's the challenge we face every day we get out of bed and we don't know what life is going to bring. But we do know that we have a Savior. He's present with us. We can turn to him at any time through prayer, and he's there. He will perfect and strengthen our faith and enable us to grow and mature and become people who are worthy of being called the body of Christ on earth, because what we do witnesses to what we believe. Amen.